Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And on today's episode...
Mark Titty Whitman.
So on today's show...
That's what we call a callback, Heath.
Yes. If you want to know, go to the episode, Heath and Mark buy eat ribs and buy movies. So you need to go listen to that.
Speaking of, we're going to make this a quick one because we're fixing to go do that.
Fixing to go eat some ribs. I ate a small breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready I'm ready for some Memphis ribs. I'm in a rut, man. Got to have them Memphis ribs.
Oh, they good.
I don't
they good, boy. Black's Barbecue. They'll do you
Black
right.
Black
Smokehouse, yeah.
Find them on Facebook. Hey, they're on Facebook.
Go there. Trust us.
Yes. Also, the Soul Kitchen is there.
Yeah.
Mark and I just last week, just a few days ago actually, went to the PWX show in Hickory, North Carolina. The name of the show, Expect Everything. That was the title of this show. And it was an amazing show. The number one reason we went is Zack Sabre Jr. was in town, and he was wrestling Cedric Alexander.
Right.
In what
we're both huge fans of Cedric's and Zack Sabre Jr.
We've had the opportunity to call two Cedric Alexander matches, and just what a professional.
Yeah,
what a guy.
He is good.
And also just very humble. Even as we were leaving the show, and I just wanted to stop and say congratulations. He was just so humble. And that was another reason, is this was going to be Cedric's finished up with the Ring of Honor. This was his last show for now with PWX, because he and Zack Sabre both signed to the Cruiserweight Challenge for WWE. And that's another thing I want to talk about. WWE's going on a signing spree. So we went to see that match, but there was another match, Mark.
Yeah.
Some of your favorites. Talk about that six-man match.
Oh, the Ugly Ducklings, man. I love those guys. I do. And it's like, it goes in the face of everything I've ever said I liked about wrestling, man. But those guys just, they look like they're having the time. And it's our buddy Rob Killjoy.
Yeah.
Our buddy. I mean, you know, I don't know. We know each other. But, you know, there's a, hey, how you doing familiar there. Colby Carino, Steve Carino's kid, and Lance Lude, who's like, he might weigh 125 pounds, and Colby might weigh 125 pounds.
Yeah.
Killjoy's the biggest of them because he's a big boy, and he's missing the tooth. And I loved his tights with the Cheshire cat missing the tooth, and his Ugly Duckling mask was missing a tooth. Just you know,
so these guys. So I was at the show where there was. I want to say it was a six-way match, and they called it the junior division. I can't remember what they called it. But it was a six-way match: Tracer X, Jet Black, the guys who would become the Ugly Ducklings, and I can't remember who the
that
six
Mason Maxson or whatever.
Yeah, and then they were
Madison Rain, I forget his name.
And then they were all in the ladder match at the War Games,
which was pretty good.
But it's like these guys, the whole Ugly Duckling things, it was organic, and it was something they came up with, and it was like, you know
and
what?
And the people embraced it.
Yeah. There was a kid there who had made his own Ugly Duckling hat, and those guys, you know, signed the hat. So I'm going to be honest, they're wrestling three luchadors.
Who were great. Lucha World Order.
Oh, yeah, Lucha World Order. That's right. Like you said, Mark, this is not typically your... It wasn't Snot Bubble.
No, not at all.
But it was great.
It was awesome.
It
was awesome. You said it. You never see me react. Very, very... Like when Undertaker came out, I slid up to the edge of my seat.
Yes.
That's about as... Like, that's a This Is Awesome chant for me.
Right.
Is to slide up on the edge of my seat
and
act like I give a rat's about what's going on. You know what I mean? But there was just the atmosphere in the building when those guys came out.
Yeah.
And just how fun, how much fun they look like they're having. They're everything I like about wrestling, man.
And this match had
it
some...
It was a comedy match. I mean, it was. I'm not insulting them by saying that. I mean, it was... They're a comedy act.
Yeah.
And there's a place for that in wrestling when it's done right. And they did it right.
And they didn't... It wasn't just... The comedy and athleticism, I've not seen anywhere. I've seen comedy matches, I've seen athletic matches. But to combine the two, and the comedy started out, we were like, what does Colby Carino have down his trunks?
Yeah.
And he reaches down, and he had a luchador mask. And he puts that on, and then the other guy puts on his mask.
Because it starts out with six guys, only one of them in the Lucha World order is wearing a mask, just so everybody knows.
And so they go through this thing where everybody's putting on a mask.
Right. Every time somebody tags in.
Yeah.
He's, the guy with the mask started.
Yes.
And then Colby Carino started for the Ugly Ducklings, put the mask on. And then we get Lance Lude, and I don't know the other.
Yes.
They come in. The Lucha guy puts a mask on. Lude says, wait a minute. And he pulls a mask out. He puts a mask on.
Yeah.
And they start doing the thing. And then we get to the moment that I popped like a little kid.
Yes. It was
because
so great.
You have to, like, if you don't, if you've never seen Killjoy, and you don't get his whole gimmick, is that he's this unhinged, kind of crazy. I think he, and I don't know because I haven't really talked to him, but I think he's influenced a little bit by Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression that I get. And some of that is just because he's from Tooth or Consequences, and originally his trunks had the yellow smiley face missing.
Right.
So I just assume that he's probably a Mick Foley fan.
Yeah.
And Rob, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But,
yeah.
For him, his character and his gimmick being this unhinged guy that you never know what he's going to do, and we've talked about it. When he shows up at a show, he walks in the door as Rob Killjoy.
Yeah.
He's got his gear in a trash bag.
Yeah.
He's just, he's perfect.
Yeah.
He lives his gimmick, and he sells it to the boys from the time he walks into the room.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the other guy takes his mask out, he reaches in his trunks, and he pulls out a paper sack that he had cut eye holes in and puts it on his
head. And it had a missing tooth.
And it had a missing tooth drawn on the...
And it was great.
And I popped.
It was great.
It was awesome, man. It, and it reminded... Like, I had been tired of wrestling.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We talked about that on the way. I just am kind of put out with fans.
Yeah.
And I'm just put out with the business, whatever. And... To see that, like, it may, it reminded me why I loved wrestling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just did. And if you see the match on High Spots Network, which you can go back and watch it on High Spots Network, you'll watch it and say, I can't believe the guy that talks about Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, and Big Van Vader as much as he does loves this match. But I did. I told you. I think when we do our end of the year awards, that'll be my favorite match of the year.
Yeah.
Somebody's really going to have, at least the ones we see live.
Yeah.
Somebody's really going to have to knock a live match out of the park and knock that one off the top of my list.
Because it had everything. It had the comedy. It had the athleticism. It had the chemistry the Ugly Ducklings have.
Right.
Some of the moves they
were
pulling off.
You can't replicate the chemistry that those guys have with each other. That's a real... That's a real deal.
It's very organic. Mm-hmm. Like you watched, even they had a spot where they all kissed each other.
Yeah.
Like they, it was just great, man. Mm-hmm. It was just a great, great match. And then the finish, which I popped for.
You did.
I was the only person among the 200 there. I popped for it because it was a distraction roll up with a handful of tights.
Yep. Yep.
So, and I thought that was brilliant because you've had this match. And by doing a distraction roll-up with a hand of the tights, you're reminded it matters who wins and loses. Like, like we've kissed each other, and we've put masks on, but we want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to win so bad, we'll cheat to do it.
Yeah, like all fun and games aside,
it
still matters who wins the match. So he grabs a handful of tights.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Man.
It was great. Those guys.
You want? I cannot pray. And I told, I didn't get to tell Colby, but I definitely... I told Rob and I told Lance Lude, man, thank you both for reminding me why I love wrestling.
Yeah.
And Rob's come, when we went over there, he said, man, how was it?
Yeah.
And you told him, he said, and this guy, he pointed at this guy, he never pops for anything. And he was like a kid watching you, watching that match. And I was, and it was
it was great.
It was awesome, man.
Like, it was like,
I'm so hard to impress.
You and I need, like, we were talking about that day and how you and I just needed a day. And we spent the day, we went comic book shopping. Uh-huh. We explored the metropolis of Hickory, North Carolina.
We did. We were all over the place. But we needed that day because now we are a little more involved with other stuff. And we've had the conversation, yeah. man. Like, we sometimes our business gets put on the back burner right. for doing other things.
Yeah.
And it's we need some time every once in a while for the Double Dropkick Show to do what we do.
But even that, it wasn't about the Double Dropkick Show.
No.
It was Heath and Mark.
Heath and Mark, yeah.
Going to a wrestling show.
Right.
A good wrestling show.
But that's what I mean. When I say that, we're the Double Dropkick Show. Yeah. We're a team. It's like, we're a tag team.
Yeah.
And what I mean is, like, sometimes our tag team needs a day where we just have a good tag team day.
Yeah. So what I loved about this card, and you and I both talked about it, it had maybe one or two matches too many. I didn't feel a bad match on the card.
No. They were all good. And I'm telling you, James Drake is another guy. Every time I see that guy, I'm so impressed with how good he is.
Man. Yeah, he is so deceptively quick.
He is, man. And he looks like, to me, he looks like the Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
But, dude, he can go just like the Big Boss Man could go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's a compliment. To compare somebody to the Big Boss Man who, in my opinion, like behind like Vader and Brody and Hanson and Terry Gordy and Steve.
He's up there.
One of the top big men.
Yeah.
And probably, I've said it before, I think as far as the big guys he wrestled, gave Hulk Hogan his best matches.
Yeah.
For against those types of opponents.
Yeah.
I think Ray Traylor is one of the best big men in the history of the wrestling business.
Yeah.
So to compare somebody to Ray Traylor,
that's
to me,
compliment.
That's a compliment. And I mean it as a compliment. And I think he's awesome. James Drake.
And he wrestled Ethan Case, and they had a great...
They did.
They just had a great match.
They did have a good... Ethan Case is another guy that... I see him everywhere we go. I give him credit for this.
Yeah.
Just like Cedric Alexander, every time I go somewhere and they're having a seminar, you'd see Cedric Alexander there.
Yeah.
And I heard another guy that works the indies around here question him about that one time.
Yeah.
What, you paid to go to that NWA Legends training camp? Didn't you go last year? Yeah, I sure did. And I went this year too.
Yeah.
Because he's on Ring of Honor, he understands he could still learn something. Just because he's going to WWE doesn't mean he can't still learn. And he did, and it has paid off.
And And Cedric Alexander could have probably just shown up, been a fly on the wall at the FanFest seminar.
Mm-hmm.
But
they'd have probably let him do it anyway and just hang around, but he didn't. He paid to be a part of the seminar several years in a row.
Yeah.
Because he wants to learn and he wants to improve, and that's why he's going to WWE now. And that will always be the difference between the guys that make it and the guys that don't.
He did not expect to be given anything.
No. Whereas the guy that he was talking to wouldn't go. And he ain't nobody. I'm just trying to tell you. I don't care who he thinks he is.
Yeah.
He ain't nobody.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he felt like he should have been able to go for free to this thing. And who are you?
Yeah, right. So
this guy's been on national TV. He's paying to go. You work indies.
Yeah, you need
to. You feel like you don't need to go.
Right. So what I loved about this PWX show is that we've talked about this. A wrestling show should be like this circus.
Uh-huh.
You should have the clowns. You should have the lions. You should have the trapeze. You should have all of it.
And when it's in balance, you can enjoy the whole circus.
And I felt
when
that...
When it's too heavy on one thing, to me, it takes away from it.
And I felt that you had Cedric Alexander and Zack Sabre Jr., who, in my memory, there was only one flying spot where they were outside the ring.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the match was total mat-based wrestling.
And it was Sabre's match. I mean, he worked his match where he worked Cedric's arm.
And Cedric, I've not seen Cedric work that type of match.
Right.
And I was doubly impressed.
Me too.
With that. But another thing I loved about that match, I loved the pace of it. We talked about the episode that has not been posted yet. I talked about my ranking system. And the number one thing in my ranking system is, why are these two guys fighting?
Right.
And I knew these two guys are fighting because it's about who's the best.
Right.
Who's better, me or you? And it's not about a title. It's not about rankings. This is a special challenge match. I just want to see how good I am.
Right.
And I want to face the best.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. You talked about that six-man match. I think when we and so right now, that match was posted for free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I shared it on Facebook. You got to watch. I mean, that's gonna be in my match of the year conversation.
Yeah,
because those two guys, I had never seen Sabre, and talk about a humble kid. He was great.
Oh, he was so nice.
I told him we drove 3 hours to see him, and it legitimately blew him away.
Right.
He said, what? And I said, that's why they call us Mark, Zach. Let me explain this to you, brother. You need to slow down. Shout a little bit more.
Say a little more. Work on your lighting.
They didn't need to work on their lighting at the PWX because the dang sun was
shining, boy. We were in a National Guard Army, and it had that row
of
people that don't know across the top of like the window, the old school where you have to roll them to get the thing in the middle open.
Yeah.
And the sun was like right over them, and it was like a magnifying glass coming through all those windows, man.
But the finish of that match, there were no faults. I don't know that there was any false finishes.
I don't remember.
There was some false submission that you thought Cedric was going to tap.
Yeah.
But at the end, they had a big flurry. Cedric hits his finisher, 1-2-3.
Right.
And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, because the very first match, and we talked about it, it was one of those leg slappers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody was just throwing kicks and slapping their knee.
Yeah.
I thought, man, this is what we're going to see all night. And it wasn't. And I was like really impressed that they did that. And then we're going, okay, everybody's going to dive over the top rope. And they did some of that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't too heavy in other matches.
Yeah.
You know, it was good, man.
The main event, I want to talk about the main event. Four-way title match, John Schuyler, Sammy Callahan, Anthony Henry, and why am I not thinking who the fourth guy was? Corey Hollis. And the way it had been built is I thought Anthony Henry, I thought that what this was going to be his night. And
everybody else did too.
I didn't realize that Callahan, until we got there, I didn't realize Callahan had won the title the previous month. And again, they worked it into the storyline because he won it on a ref stoppage. They stopped the match. Spoiler alert. John Schuyler wins the belt, wins the match, with some help from Corey Hollis at the end. But then Schuyler cuts his promo and talks about, you know, the management made a mistake, you know, and because he had the belt for like 370 days. But what did you think about the four-way match?
Oh, it was good. It was good. I always say this, you know, Sammy Callahan before the match, I was saying, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, the appeal of him.
Yeah.
I really don't, and I still don't. I mean,
right. The
guy wrestles in a hoodie, but every time and it happened with Jinder Mahal as well at WrestleCade.
Yeah.
When you see these guys that WWE signed, for whatever reason they signed them, it's the same with Zack Sabre Jr. and Cedric. When you see them, you understand when you see them live that up close why they got signed.
Right.
Because their work's always – Jinder Mahal really impressed me with how good he was.
He really did.
And it was the same with Sammy Callahan. I mean, you really get an understanding of why they got signed.
Yeah.
When you're sitting on the second row and you can't see holes in their work. And you know what I mean? And you can – this guy's got some charisma. Like, you understand why – like, they don't get to use it as much on WWE maybe. But
right.
You get what the attraction was with these guys.
And another thing you mentioned, you said a couple of things. One was during the introductions. You were like, none of these guys is a heavyweight.
Right.
They're going for the heavyweight title. None of them is a heavyweight. But you also said, man, it's nice to see – Sami Zayn's working with three guys that are – they're all about the same size. Yeah, sorry, Sammy Callahan. They're all about the same size. And when you see a guy who's not just the smallest guy in the ring, you really get to see him work, do his full body of work. One thing, and again, this may be the difference between running one show a month and running two TV shows a month. And because we talked about AJ Styles on our Money in the Bank episode, we talked about AJ and John Cena holding back some.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like you go to these shows, and it's like every show is WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have to. I mean, because for those guys, and we've talked about it on these indie shows, well, I don't want the opening match to do everything they know how to do. But for those guys, they're recording that match and putting it out there, and it's a highlight sizzle reel.
Yeah.
For them to show other promotions what they can do. So I think they should be able to do everything they can do.
And so maybe you look at PWX and PWG, the governors are off on those shows. And maybe that's why they've been so successful. Maybe, I've
said it 1,000 times. If the guys in the main event can't work better than the guys in the opening match, maybe you need to reevaluate who you got in the opening match and who you got in the main event.
Yeah, yeah.
If you guys in the main event can't keep up with your opening match, then maybe you need to swap them.
Yeah. So this main event, they went all around the building. Some good, hard, stiff wrestling.
Yeah, that was cool. When they were doing the spot where everybody would run around the ring and set a guy in a chair and go all and get their momentum and then kick them, and then they'd switch places and go to another corner and everybody. I thought it was good.
So one thing that happened is I lost track of how many times the crowd had to disperse.
Right,
because they're coming into the crowd. They're coming. Because the front North Carolina, there's no regular South Carolina. You got to be six feet from the ring. You got to have, and I'm going to tell you, I like that. I like the regulations in South Carolina because to me, especially that main event, the guys came out, broke a bunch of chairs, and so for half of the main event, half of our section had to stand up and watch, which meant I couldn't see half the ring.
Right. You couldn't see what was going on. Well, let me tell you, it was awesome. You were missing all of y'all. Like, I always feel bad because I know that. Like, it happened to us at Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Where that lady said, can you sit down?
Yeah.
Ma'am, everybody's standing up. It's not like I'm standing up.
Yeah, and nobody else is.
And nobody else is. Everybody in this whole room is standing up, and you're asking me to sit down because you can't. And if I sit down, then I can't see.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. And I tried to tell her, I'm sorry, I'm not sitting down.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't make me a yard wide and 6'5".
Yeah.
I can't. Okay, I had something to do with my belly being as big as it is, but the width of my shoulders, that's all God.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with me. I'm sorry you could show a movie on my back, but.
Listen, no one's going to blame you for being a genetic freak.
You know?
A genetic specimen.
But I do feel bad for the people that have to sit behind me sometimes.
So another thing that happened is Anthony Henry, to me, is the favorite.
Uh-huh.
He's the first eliminated.
Right.
And you could just get this sense there, like, this is why I love wrestling. The legitimate shock on people's faces. The guys who go to all of these shows.
The shows, they thought they knew he was winning.
Yeah. And that's when I love it when
the
smart
marks. And that's
when they
started chanting BS, BS.
Yeah, yeah. So he's out. And then Callahan, so Hollis and Skylar are working together. But then toward the end, Callahan gets Hollis in the crossface.
Uh-huh.
And Skylar, instead of saving, just settles in the corner right there in front of him.
Right in front of his
partner. It was great.
Yeah.
And
he was like, I might not eliminate you, but you do got to go.
So Hollis taps out, and then Hollis comes back. When Callahan had the match won, Hollis distracts the ref. And then John Skylar wins the belt back, which I didn't see coming. And then there's this commotion, and the big bay door of this armory starts going up.
Uh-huh.
And it took a little longer than I think they thought it was going to.
I think it did too, yeah.
And then Jake, the man scout, Jake Manning, comes in.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a feud going on. There's been a feud, but and I guess he was suspended, not supposed to be there, whatever. Comes out, makes the challenge to John Skylar, so next month they're going to do Jake Manning's career versus
As against John, Skyler. For is the Skyler title. Going to WWE? Did he sign a developmental deal or something?
Well, I don't know because here, okay, so in his promo, Skyler said, I'm not going to talk about the future of John Skyler. That's why I was surprised he won because he and Hollis have already been working NXT. They've worked a Monday Night Raw match. Uh-huh. Obviously, WWE believes these are dependable guys we can use. They're getting ready to sign guys. So I'm under the impression that in this signing spree that's about to happen, Hollis and Skyler are going to be signed to exclusive deals. That's the difference. When WWE signs you, you only work for WWE.
Right.
When they TNA, you see all these announcements this week. TNA has signed so-and-so. Well, so-and-so's still going to work all these indie shows.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Like Trevor Lee.
Trevor Lee, that's right.
Who I think's got to be kicking himself a little bit.
And he just re-signed with TNA.
Yeah, you would think he would have fit in that cruiserweight tournament.
So here's
perfectly.
But here's the thing: maybe Trevor Lee likes working
and
the Carolinas
there are some
and PWG.
That like that. There are some people like that. They don't want that schedule.
Right. Right. So I mean, it was. One thing they do, the end of every PWX show, they get you ready for their next show.
Yeah.
They build, you know, it's always built into the next show. And then Jake Manning is probably their biggest baby face. And, you know.
So is the guy who runs the company, is he supposed to be like a heel authority figure?
I don't know.
Because I don't.
We've
know
missed that.
Yeah, I know that Jake Manning attacked him.
I don't think that he's supposed to be a heel. He's just supposed to be a businessman.
Got you. And Manning was frustrated with something, and he wound up hitting.
Yeah,
him.
And
it was like Magnum TA attacking Bob Cottle.
But here's the thing: you got Skyler and Manning who are about to face each other, and they're both mad at the same guy. So I'm kind of confused with that. Having said all that, if you get an opportunity to go, like when I see their schedule, mm-hmm. I check it out. They do some shows on Saturday, some shows on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But if I can go, if it's 3 hours away, 2.5 hours, if I can go, I go.
Right.
Because it's going to be a good show. The high spots, people are always there. Mm-hmm. So you know you're going to get some good
merchandise. And the guy who runs it, Kanabrowski, whatever his name is,
yeah.
Ryan Kanabrowski, he always brings in one guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He brought in Brian Cage.
He brought in Chris Hero. He brought in Zack Sabre Jr. He's brought in Samoa Joe. There's always somebody on that show that's a big indie name.
And whether
their regular guys are awesome.
Yeah, and there's a connection, and we haven't done the interviews. I don't know, but there's definitely a connection between the George South School High Spots and PWX.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of the guys are George South trainees. They know they're going to be good. It's kind of their foot in the door of the wrestling business.
I've said this 1,000 times. If I could go back and do it over again, I'd have went and trained with George South.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, who knows if he was even doing?
Yeah, he was. I know that he was. Because my plan had been that would be my second, like finishing school. But then I wound up getting out of wrestling.
Yeah.
So he was. I had already looked into it.
But I, you know, highly recommend PWX. Now it's more of an adult show, as far as the language and things like that.
It's PG-13.
Yeah, right. No,
they're not
right.
They're effing and this and that.
Right.
Together,
That's right. That's right.
They'll drop OS word on you every once in a while.
Like
kind of like me.
Yeah. Kind of like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You fuss about me not putting up episodes, and then you're gonna throw in stuff that I got to go and do some post editing. So
I don't see why you don't just leave it in there. You didn't say it. I did.
I don't think you understand how this world works. Sometimes
I got you.
Guilty by association.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. But anyway. So anyway, we're not. This is not a paid sponsorship of PWX. We appreciate their work. I'll even give you their website, pwxpro.com. When we go, we're not just being entertained, but we are they're on the High Spots Network. Uh-huh. I would love to be on the High Spots Network. Uh-huh. So when I go to a wrestling show, I'm trying to pick up things and learn things. And they're obviously doing something right because they are making money.
Yeah, they're drawing.
They are drawing.
I mean, we just kind of did a rough estimate on how much money they brought in.
And it was...
Yeah. It's $35 for a front row seat, $25 for second row, and then what, $15 for general admission?
Yeah.
And there was...
And one thing we talked about this, one thing I like is, so if I had taken my son, wherever you sit, you get a child, for every adult ticket you buy, you get a child ticket that's half price. It can be front row.
Right.
Maybe not front row, but second row and back. Uh-huh. So if my ticket was $25, I could have got Drake second row for $12.50, and that's what we got before.
Right. But you just figure, like, if there was 80 people sitting on the front row at $35 a head, and then 80 people on the second row at $25 a head, and then another 150 people in there.
That place was packed. I mean, they were bringing in chairs. They don't believe in turning people away.
No. And there's not a bad seat.
No.
There wasn't a bad
seat. It's a small room.
You could have sat on the last row and seen it well.
You could have stood against the back wall.
Yeah. That's the great thing about National Guard Armories.
Yeah.
There's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah.
So, I'm a fan of what they do. Like you told me one time, we may never get to go see PWG, but this is about as close as you're going to get on the East Coast.
Yes. You know. Yes.
That environment, that fans that, like, want to be, that play their part.
And I felt the fans, for the most part, there wasn't a point. I've been to some of their shows where I felt like the fans were trying to insert themselves a little too much, try to hijack the show.
Right.
I felt like the wrestling was good enough, the storytelling was good enough, that they just kind of went along.
And if it is, fans won't do that.
Yeah.
Fans will just be fans if you give them the opportunity.
Yeah.
But when it sucks, they're going to entertain themselves.
Yeah, they don't want to sit on their hands. They're like, man, I pay money. I'm going to insert myself. And
we've done it. You and I have done it in indie shows.
Yeah.
Where we kind of become the ones that people are watching. I remember we went and saw that show out at that little racetrack. And
There was like 30 people there, if that.
And you and I were just, we just took over the crowd.
Because I feel like the guys deserve something. The wrestlers deserve for the crowd to be cheering. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm a louder guy. Sometimes that's my role as a fan. There's been lots of shows where I got a chance started, but it had to do with the match.
Right.
I wasn't just chanting Randy Savage. I mean, I was chanting something to, and I'm not going to toot my own horn.
But toot.
But I know for a fact that there's been times where a match could have just been two guys mailing it in.
Mm-hmm.
But I put in the enthusiasm to make the crowd have enthusiasm, and it raised. It didn't make it a 5-star match, but it maybe took it from 2 stars to 2.5 stars.
Right.
Because if the crowd reacts, the guys will work.
Yes.
And if the crowd is dead, why they're putting their bodies on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So again, pwxpro.com, but more importantly than that, doubledropkick.com. Matter of fact, you know what I think? I think that I can put a PWX banner, and we can make money off ticket sales.
We selling tickets for other promotions on the show. We might as well sell some for them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we highly recommend. And, it might be the last time you get to see John Schuyler in the Carolinas.
And you never know. Cedric Alexander might show back up. If you get a chance to go see that young man,
yeah,
take it. He is that good.
Yeah.
You will not regret it.
Cedric Alexander.
And I promise you, if you're into PWG and all that,
yeah,
and you go see those guys, you're going to like it, and you're going to see somebody that you've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see somebody.
Yeah.
That's where I met Chris. Everybody knows I like Chris.
Yeah.
And that's where we saw him, and that's where we met him at.
Yeah.
Same with Zack Sabre Jr.
I haven't seen their card. Maybe We'll check that out because I think I looked at the dates. Well, I have to look at it again. So anyway,
y'all didn't see Heath's eyes moving back and forth.
So doubledropkick.com. You can talk to us on Twitter at Heath Mulliken,
at the DDK Show.
Facebook, our Facebook group where we talk about stuff is The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We have a Facebook page, the Double Dropkick Show. And we do talk about the wrestling you grew up with, but we want to, one of our missions as a show is to let you know about the wrestling you need to watch now. And that's what PWX is. And so if you want to catch a lot of their old shows, you can get at highspots.com. Guess what? There's a Highspots banner. So you click on that banner and go buy something from PWX that helps us out. All their old shows are on the network. One thing I like to do is if I know I'm going to a show, I go and try to watch the shows leading up to it.
Right.
To know kind of the storylines and stuff.
One thing, if anybody from High Spots is listening, that I would like to see them do is put more things in chronological order, though.
Yeah.
Because when you go on there, you're just kind of guessing, wait, what? You know what I mean?
Correct. Everything's maybe have the date.
Maybe have at least have a date on there of when it happened. And maybe they do if you click down into it, but I don't want to click down into everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, WWE Network has their everything in chronological
order. By year.
By year. So
I was trying to watch some old PWG, I didn't know what order.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Which it doesn't really matter with PWG. But.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, hey, thank you for listening today. Mark and I have a big decision to make, and that is, do we record another episode or go eat lunch right now? I don't know what we're going to do.
We can knock this next one out in 20 minutes.
I think we can, too. So, hey, thank you so much for listening. Mark, thank you for going to the show with me. It was a great day.
Thank you for inviting me for doing what I asked.
And driving you around. Yeah. So
not only that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. So, hey, as always, for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.